God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You, you. Yes. Yeah, I see you. And even you. Welcome. Welcome, one and all. Welcome to the Midweek Power Nugget. These 15 minutes that you have allowed God to have, He did not take them from you. He did not steal them from you. You willingly allowed to give these 15 minutes of your day. And because you've allowed God to have these 15 minutes, I believe that God has something for you. So grateful to God that He has given us another opportunity, another moment to be in His presence, to give us another day of life, to give us another heartbeat, to give us another chance at getting it right. You ought to be glad about it this morning. Come on, let's start with a word of prayer. God, we love you. God, we thank you. God, we adore you. God, we appreciate the fact that you have thought about us. We appreciate the fact that you always have us on our mind. God, there's never a moment that you don't think about us. There are moments that you tend to slip our mind, but God, I'm so grateful that you have never allowed us to slip your mind. You always have your eye on us. Matter of fact, the Bible says that you are so keen about the details about our lives that you know the very number of hairs on our head, that you know exactly where we go to and fro. And so, God, I appreciate the fact that you care that much about us. Now, God, we also recognize that we don't always get this life right. There are things in this life that we just flat out mess up on. And it's simply because, not always, that we're being disobedient, but simply because there are times, God, that we just don't know exactly what it is that you are doing, or even more so, God, we don't recognize that we're in error. So, God, we thank you for these opportunities to be able to hear your word, study your word, grow from your word. And, God, we thank you that you loved us enough that you put us in a country where we are able to study your word, we're able to assemble and pray together, we're able to come, we're able to come together and pray together, we're able to assemble as believers, as your children, to be able to grow together as we study together. Now, God, as we are taking this early moment time, this early time to be able to study together, God, I pray that you will do what it is that you have always done, and that is that when your word goes out, it shall not return void, but God, it shall accomplish what you set it out to do. God, we're so grateful. God, we appreciate you. God, we love you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. So grateful to God again that He has allowed us to come together on this Wednesday morning to study His word. So let's get with it. We are going to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, the 21st chapter. The Gospel of John, the 21st chapter. We are still continuing in our devotional series of what now. We have celebrated the resurrection, but is that all there is? Is there not more to it? What now? So we talked about we are to worship the risen one. We talked about witnessing without delay. And so today's what now comes from John, the 21st chapter. And we're going to start at the first verse. And I am reading from the New American Standard Bible. So if you're up and if you're in your phone or if you got your Bible, your version might read just a hair differently. And so John 21 verse 1 reads as follows. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, "We will also come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Wonder if this story is starting to sound a little familiar to you. There's another passage that sounds just like it. Let's keep going. But when the day was now breaking, when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have not any fish, do you?" "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" I'm sorry, I promise you I can read. They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast. And then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. Now, this is now, the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Notice with me again, verses 5 and 6. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast. And then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. And the word of the Lord is blessed. This is very similar to when they first encountered Jesus, before there were even a group of what you call disciples. Jesus was out recruiting, if you will, for disciples. Told the same person, "Simon Peter, let down your net," after they have fished all night long. But that is not the quote-unquote moral of this story. This morning, with the very few moments that I have left, I want to talk to you about walk in obedience. What now? We are to walk in obedience. After we encounter the living Savior, we should walk in obedience. Listen, you all, in the military, soldiers are taught to respond to orders with what is called immediate obedience. Not after debating, not after double checking, immediate. Because in combat, if you hesitate, that could be fatal not only to you, but it could be fatal to your fellow soldiers. So the command is simple. You obey, and you obey now. But let's just be real now. We love, as believers, we love the fact of being able to call Jesus our Savior. We love it. We love to shout, "He got up." We love to dance on that. But when he starts giving out post-resurrection instructions, you know, like we find in Matthew 28, "Go and make disciples," we get selective. Oh, well, hold on now. Go and make disciples. Who? Where? That person? I don't even like them. we start to get selective. We want to decide when we want to be obedient and when we don't. So really, we want the resurrection blessings without the resurrection obedience. But we got to recognize this truth. The resurrection is not just a suggestion to admire, but really it's a commandment to obey. And you all, the disciples, understood that. And if we truly believe he's risen, we have no choice but to walk in obedience. To walk in obedience. You all, when we look at this passage, we notice that the disciples respond without excuses. The scripture clearly says that they, Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. The disciples went with them, said they went out, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. They caught absolutely nothing. But then when Jesus came on the scene, he told them, you don't have any fish, do you? And they said, no. And he told them what to do. You all, they didn't say, but we did this all night. They learned from the first time they told Jesus that. Remember the first time they said, but we fished all night long. Nevertheless, at your word, Rabbi, we'll do that. And they did it then, and they brought in a haul of fish. This time, he asked them, did you get fish? They said no. They did not give excuses. They did not say, well, we already tried that. None of that. You all, obedience doesn't always come with explanations. Just do. Sometimes God gives us directions and it doesn't fit what we want to do. It doesn't make sense to us. But faith isn't about understanding. It's about trusting. The next thing he said was, let down the net on the right side of the boat. Now here they are. They are already seasoned fishermen. They were out all night, nothing to show for it, frustrated, tired, empty nets. Jesus said, let down the net on the right side of the boat, the other side. Might sound crazy. What difference does it make whether we put the net down on this side or put it down on this side? But they obeyed. You all, they had to reposition their net. And sometimes we got to reposition our obedience. I wish you hear me today. Sometimes our obedience requires repositioning. We got to adjust how we think, how we approach things, where we put our efforts. It's not that we're doing the wrong thing. Sometimes we're just doing it on the wrong side of faith. So if Jesus says shift, shift might sound small, but the results can be miraculous. Last thing I want to tell you before I run out of time. Not only do we have to respond without excuse, not only do we need to reposition our faith, but you all, we've got to remain under instruction. What does that mean? It means, I'm about to bring up the part we don't like to admit to. Obedience is not a one-time event. Oh, ow, I know. Just stay with me for a minute. Stay with me. Obedience is not a one-time event. That same Jesus who gave instructions before the cross is still giving instructions after he got up. The same Jesus who expected obedience before he died for our sins is the same Jesus who's expecting obedience today. You are walking in obedience means living under the constant covering, the constant guidance, the constant leadership of God. It means staying tuned in day by day, moment by moment. You all, the disciples didn't get a resurrection free pass to do that thing. Notice when Simon Peter recognized that it's the Lord, he jumped into the water. Not because he was just so amazed that Jesus showed up, but he remembered that he had denied him. So his own guilt threw him in that water. They didn't get a free pass. And guess what, you all? We don't either. Jesus is still speaking, but the question is, are you listening? You all, you know God has been prompting you to obey, but you have been hesitating. You have not given immediate obedience. And whether it's making a move, whether it's releasing a grudge, whether it's shifting your priorities, whether it's you serving God in a new way that he's calling you to, you got to commit to making that step. Not next month, not when it's comfortable, not when it's convenient, but now. Obey. We've got to walk in obedience. Let's pray. God, we love you today. We honor you. God, thank you for reminding us that you are still blessing today, but you are also still expecting obedience today. Help us to walk the way that you will call us to walk, and help us to know that that's what you expect from us immediately. God, be with us as we go about our day today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have an amazingly God bless day. In Jesus' name.